Thanks for listening to this edition of the Fueled by Grace podcast. I'm Pastor Mark Shiver, and I'm so excited that we're together once again to be encouraged in our faith. As you know, the mission of Fueled by Grace is to encourage you that God loves you, to build you up in the truth, the reality that God loves you. God loves you. He cares about you. He wants to be in relationship with you. It's just a simple statement. God loves you. In fact, you might respond by saying, Mark, I sang that in nursery school. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And yet, no matter how mature we grow as saints, as we learn more and more about the goodness of God and his faithfulness and his ways, it all comes back to the very bottom line, simple truth. God loves you. And so that's why Fueled by Grace exists. That's our mission. And hopefully we can accomplish our goal with every one of these podcasts. And that is, by the time you get done listening, you are more assured than ever that God loves you. God's been speaking to me some interesting things lately. And you might have noticed the title of this episode, Take Off Your Mask. Kind of a timely title because people are taking off their masks everywhere. As you know, the CDC said, if you've had your shots, you don't have to wear a mask here or there. And if you haven't had your shots, and it's a little confusing. But the reality is people all over America are taking off their masks and they are enjoying a new freedom to breathe and to just not have to cover up their face. Some people like it. I know some people who really enjoy wearing a mask. In fact, they may continue doing so for a long, long time, and that's fine. It's a personal choice, but there is such a freedom being felt all across this country as people are taking off their masks, and it's like this big sigh of relief, I can go outside and breathe the fresh air without, worrying about having to put on a mask. And yet, wearing masks is nothing new. In fact, it's been going on since the very dawn of creation. Shortly after Adam and Eve were created and placed in the garden, they developed their own masks. And we're going to talk about that today in this edition of the podcast. In fact, wearing a mask is something that if you go on Google and start trying to look around for psychological stuff, once you get past all the pandemic masks and get down to what they call emotional masks, it's very, very interesting. Everyone wears a mask of some kind emotionally. Some people more than others. But from a very early age as children, we begin to develop this ability to hide how we really feel, to obscure who we really are. For example, if you're told as a child that your opinion is stupid, you're going to put on a mask and hide your opinion. You're likely not to be able to enjoy freedom of sharing what is on your heart and on your mind because you have been hurt. Your parents, folks, let me just take a time out here. Parents, if you're listening, and I know many of you are, be careful what you say to your children because it can set their life on a certain course. The words stick. They mean something. They hear them and their very psyches are formed based on how you speak to your children. And so at an early age, we begin to develop the ability to wear a psychological mask. I'm looking at psych2go.net. And it's an interesting website with lots of interesting information. And one thing it says, we create fake personas that hide our insecurities and mask our flaws, wearing metaphorical masks, as it were, all in a fruitless attempt to fit in with the social standings of others and to hide who we really are within. Boy, that's a loaded sentence. I love those words, in a fruitless attempt to fit in with the social standings of others. Now, I'm not a psychologist, but I do believe that there are some very basic things that we like as people. We like to be accepted. We like to be thought well of. We don't want to be rejected. It hurts. In fact, we don't want to be hurt, physically or emotionally. And yet, these things are dealt with sometimes on a daily basis by everybody. And we put on a mask to keep from getting hurt. And we may have been wearing a mask for so long that we feel like that's who we really are. And isn't that a shame? Because we've been covering ourselves up emotionally in order to prevent ourselves from being hurt or let down or rejected. And it's gotten to the point in many cases where the real you is not even visible anymore. If they told you to take off your mask, you might have a hard time. But thank God he can help us with that. And we're going to find out about that today in this edition of the podcast. Now, why do people wear masks? Well, fear, right? We all were wearing the surgical mask or whatever face covering you had. And it was because there was a fear of the unknown. There's this virus out there. And even though it's so funny because even though there was report and study after study that said a surgical mask really doesn't do you any good because the virus is so small and you really need one of these fancy N95 masks to filter out viral particles, people still, they wore masks in droves because it made them feel like they were doing something to protect themselves. And also it made them feel like they were being good citizens of, you know, society by putting a mask on so as not to potentially harm someone else. Now, those are nice, noble motives, and I'm not criticizing anybody who wore a mask. That's absolutely an individual choice. In some cases, it wasn't. We were forced to. But the bottom line is fear is the number one motivator for wearing a mask, either from the pandemic, as we've seen visibly, we can actually see the mask, or emotionally, invisible masks, metaphorical masks, masks that we cannot see someone is wearing, and yet they're wearing them, and we are wearing them. You know, I'm not letting myself off the hook here. Out of fear, we don't want to be hurt. We all wear an emotional mask. Why? Mainly out of fear. The fear of rejection. But also, as we read from Psych2Go, that it's also a desire to fit in, which is sort of the same thing in, you know, converse. We don't want to be rejected. We want to be accepted. We want to be liked. Everybody wants to be liked. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some people that go through life and they, you know, they'll cuss and say, "Heck with you, I don't need you. I don't care what you think." And there are people like that. And most of them are probably not wearing a mask, but sometimes that bravado is their mask. They do that to deflect any possible attempts by others to get close to them and to know the real person beneath the mask. As I said, this has been going on a long time. Think back to Genesis. Here's Adam and Eve, and they're in the Garden of Eden. God placed them there. God says to them, "Now look, got these two trees. I don't want you to eat of them, okay? And, you know, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die." Satan comes along in the form of a serpent. We've all learned the story when we were in Sunday school. We all know it very well. But he deceives Eve by telling her, "God didn't really mean that. You're not going to die. Come on, Eve. You know, what do you think?" And so she ate. She gave in to the temptation and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then she gave some of the fruit to her husband, and Adam ate also. Well, immediately they saw they were naked, and they decide they better cover up. Well, they'd never covered up before, but something inside of them had changed, and they were judging themselves, right, as something is wrong. This is not good. We're naked. You can't be naked. Well, guys, you've been naked your whole life, but suddenly this ability to judge was injected into the human race, and it's been going on ever since then. And Adam and Eve judged themselves as needing to be covered. And so they covered themselves and they hid. They actually hid from God. Now, God knew what was going on. He knew, you know, he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knew they were going to eat, and he knew where they were. But he came down, and he starts calling out, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, God, I'm hiding. Finally, God sees him, and he says, well, I hid from you because I saw I was naked, and I was afraid. And folks, I love these next words. They're probably, at least in my personal top five or maybe even top three of favorite questions in the Bible. God says, who told you you were naked? Who told you you were naked? Wow, what a question. And then, of course, Adam, like most men, blames his wife and says, you know, well, the woman you gave me, she gave me this fruit. And there's a whole nother, you know, we do a whole weekend marriage seminar on that whole thing. But folks, here's Adam, and he was afraid. And fear is the great mask motivator. He hid from God. He covered himself. And this has been going on ever since. We hide from God. We don't want him to see the real us sometimes because we think that the real us is just awful. I'm speaking to somebody right now. This is going to minister. Folks, I'm telling you, this is a powerful word. I want you to get this. Somebody out there needs to hear this. Don't hide from God. God knows who you are. He knows the real you. Be yourself with him. Unburden yourself. Take off your mask and be real with God because he loves you. He loves you. And so ever since Adam and Eve sowed the fig leaves together, mankind has been emotionally masking, covering ourselves up so that we do not have to experience pain. And this goes on for many, many different reasons in ways in our lives, okay? So, you know, if we've been hurt, again, the example that I gave about a child that may have said something and told they were stupid, we might mask ourselves as someone who does not have an opinion. Right? You're in a conference room with four or five people sitting around and, hey, Jane, what do you think? And Jane's just very, very quiet. Even though Jane has a great idea and it would probably save the company money and launch an amazing, you know, new product. Oh, no way is Jane talking because mom or dad told Jane she was stupid when she was 4 years old. And she's been wearing a mask ever since that she doesn't have an opinion. Right? We see that. We see it all the time. And we see in relationships between men and women. You know, here's Bobby and Sue, and she's just wondering why he won't ever talk to her. Why won't he communicate with her? Well, Bobby's afraid. Bobby's afraid that Sue is going to reject him, that she is going to see the real him, and he's going to get hurt. So instead of doing that, Bobby wears this mask that he's just a fun-loving, good old boy and never has really anything deep to say. And you know it. I mean, I can describe scenario after scenario after scenario where we all do this sort of thing. We wear a mask to hide from others who we really are because we are afraid that they will hurt us. Not intentionally. We don't believe people are out there, you know, just ready to pounce and hurt us emotionally. But we are afraid that if we drop our guard, if we are real, if we are transparent, if we take off our mask, that we're going to be rejected, that we're not going to be liked, that people are not going to like what they see when they see the real me, the real you. But the point that I want to get to about all of this is that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can take off our masks. And it may be a process that we have to go through to become confident and comfortable and to know that we can be who we are and not worry about it. And even if we do get rejected, it's okay. So, what is the answer and understanding that God loves you will begin to help you peel back the emotional masks so that you can be yourself and be who God created you to be. You see, the real tragedy here is that God made all of us to be individually unique. It says that we are His workmanship, created for good works in Christ Jesus. And that word workmanship in the original text means masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. Have you ever thought of yourself that way? That's awesome. We have been created by God, His masterpiece. It's awesome. It's life-changing to begin to think about these things. And yet, we focus on our faults instead of on how God sees us. We spend our time wishing we were somebody else, wishing we were better looking, wishing we had an opinion, wishing we could be this or that or do this or that or say this or that. And yet, all we need to do is believe. Believe that God loves you. Believe that God loves me. The answer lies in the reality that we are loved the way we are. John 3:16, every one of us can quote it in our sleep. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, this was so cool. Earlier, I was thinking about that verse, and I thought, this is something I need to share in the podcast. Let's all personalize this verse. Have you ever done that? For God so loved Mark Shiver that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, if Mark Shiver believes in Him, he won't perish, but he'll have everlasting life. For God so loved Susie. God so loved Benny and Billy and Jane and Tom and Roseanne and everyone. Personalize it, whatever your name is. I challenge you. I absolutely challenge you to do this one thing. Stand in front of the bathroom mirror starting tomorrow when you get out of bed. And look at yourself and say out loud, for God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son. Change the wording if you want. God loves me so much that He gave His only Son. God loves me so much. God loves me so much. God loves me so much. You see, the reason this is powerful is because everything that God has done is rooted in and springs forth from His love for you, from His love for me. All through His life, Jesus, He wasn't just being obedient to His Father. You know, He says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. And He wasn't just doing that to set Himself up and prove to the people, yes, I am the Messiah. But He was doing that to get to the point where He could live in front of us before our very eyes, the reality that God loves us. Because when He was beaten nearly to death, horribly tortured, spit on, a crown of thorns smashed into His head, when He picked that cross up and could barely walk and somebody else had to carry it for Him, and He's hanging there on this cross with nails driven through His hands and feet, God loves you. That's what it means. God gave His only begotten Son. That was why Jesus was born. That's why He lived. That was His purpose in life, to get to that moment where all of the sin of the entire human race could be poured onto Him. And God Himself would say, I am satisfied. And Jesus said, it is finished. When you begin to see that, folks, that love, God loved me so much that He gave His only Son. God loved me so much that He gave His only Son. For God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son. I'm telling you, I promise you, if you will begin to get in front of a mirror and look yourself into the eyes and say those words, it will change your life. Now, why is that? Well, because the original wearing of masks by Adam and Eve was rooted in a fear that God was going to reject them. And so this fear of rejection has been winding its way throughout the human race ever since then. But as you begin to realize and understand that God is not going to reject you, then you can begin to take the emotional masks that you've been wearing, the fear that you've had that others will reject you, will fall away. Because once you understand and are rooted and grounded in the reality that God loves you, what other people think about you really doesn't matter anymore. And it's not like the guy I referenced earlier, you know, who just said, well, I don't care what anybody thinks. No, you can walk around assured and held by the hand of God, your heavenly Father, comforting you, assuring you at all times, I love you. And you can say with boldness, God loves me. So as you begin to stand in front of the mirror and say these words, maybe timidly at first, you might feel foolish, for God so loved Mark Shiver that he gave his only begotten son. Well, I said that, nothing happened, Mark. Well, you know what? You keep saying it tomorrow and the next day and the next day and throughout the day. You're sitting in traffic, and instead of listening to, you know, 8 different radio stations trying to find something that you can tolerate or are interested in, turn the radio off and just say that to yourself out loud. Well, God loves me so much, he gave his only begotten son. I'm telling you, it will change your life, because everything that you are fearing emotionally centers from a fear that God is going to reject you. And you might say to me, oh, well, Mark, I'm saved. I know I'm born again. You know, I said the sinner's prayer. Listen, we need a revival in our hearts, in our churches, of the reality that God loves us, that his Holy Spirit has come to help us and to lead us into all truth. And what is one of the biggest truths, the most important truth, that is that God loves us. Folks, I'm telling you, you can be who you are. Now, we haven't really dug down deep, and I'm running out of time, and I apologize, but I believe that God is really wanting to drive this part home. And if we need to go further into the concept of masks and other things emotionally and psychologically, we can hit that maybe next time. But I will tell you this, change is available to you. You don't have to stay the way you are. Simply believe that God loves you. That's it. Believe that God loves you. I challenge you. I hope you'll take this challenge. You know, post this on your social media. People might think you're strange. For God so loved me, he gave his only begotten son. Look, I'm telling you, there's power in those words. And you might not sense them the first time you say them, but I guarantee you, I promise you, if you keep saying them, they will become life and power to you, and it will change your life, and you will begin to understand that God is never, ever, ever going to reject you, and that nothing can ever, ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And you will begin to grow as a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. You will begin to mature as a saint, because you are becoming firmly rooted in the truth and the reality that God loves you. Take the challenge. Take the challenge. Begin to look at yourself every single morning and say these words, for God loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son. Well, we're out of time. Thank you for listening. I thank you for the help. Some of you have been giving feedback that's been really encouraging and positive, and I appreciate that. And also, sharing on social media is vitally important. Let's get the word out. So many people need to know that God loves them. So I appreciate your help. God loves you.